Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce here to talk about a book that we've had for a little while. We were fortunate enough to get an advanced copy of it, and it's a wonderful book from our friend Michael Powell of the New York Times, who's been on a bunch with us to talk about his New York Times columns. But as a writer,
wow,
pretty good stuff here.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's available yet. It drops this month.
It comes out actually the day before he's on with us.
Next Tuesday
it's right. Released. Yep.
Now, this is called Canyon Dreams, a basketball season on the Navajo Nation. And I want to preface this by reminding people of two things. We always said we would never talk about a book we didn't like or a book we didn't think our listeners would like. That it was never in the business of doing that. So I have always spoken well of the books that we've read. Mm. I could not speak more highly of any sports book that we presented, and we presented some great stuff, than this one. And wow. I've been reading this simultaneously with Elizabeth Strout's new novel, Olive Again. And in that, Olive is quoted often as saying, America was supposed to be a melting pot that never melted. And I've always liked that line. And I thought about that as I was reading this book. And I want to say that the writing alone is worth the price of this book. And that Michael Powell has done something that very few journalists, I find, can do. Now, I'd argue that some of the best books we've had have been basketball books. Dust Bowl Girls, mm-hmm, was fabulous. Hoop Crazy, Dennis Gilday's book about Claire B. Unrivaled, Jeff Goldberg's book about Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma. This is the best basketball book that we've had so far because it does something. And I was saying this to you off air. You learn a lot about Navajo people here. You learn a lot about the reservation. You learn about basketball. But you don't learn about it from some white guy's point of view. What you do is you learn about it from the people themselves and the people who are involved in this. Now, this follows the series of Chinle High School, the season of Chinle High School. I think that's how you pronounce it, C-H-I-N-L-E, which is in the northern part of the Navajo Reservation, which is primarily in Arizona, but does spill into the other parts of the Four Corners. And to give people an idea of the vastness of this area, it is 17.5 million acres.
Wow.
If you look up at the northwest woods of Maine, that area that they call the northern woods, that's about 2.5 million acres. Hmm. So this is something that is more than six times, almost seven times larger than that area. And people who have never been to the desert in the southwest may not understand that it is a high desert, and that at that high desert, you it's not always just hot. Yes, it can be 110 degrees in the shade. It can also be zero and snowing to beat the band. It's a landscape that is very difficult for people to live in, but the Navajo have been there and figured out how to live there for a long, long time. Every indigenous person's reservation in the United States is fraught with a lot of problems that revolve around poverty, unemployment. Sometimes those are exacerbated by substance abuse. But as I read this book, and I could be wrong, I'm going to ask my friend William Yellowrobe, a Assiniboine tribe member who teaches at Maine and is a very fine playwright. I'm going to ask him about this. But it seems that the Navajo have done a little better than a lot of other peoples because their area is so vast, because they control so much of what had been their earlier home, not all of it clearly, and that they have been they've been smarter than a lot of other people in resisting things that change them. And one thing that won't change is the way they play basketball. They call it res ball. And all year long, there's this tremendous competition between the teams that are composed of primarily Navajo people. And this particular year that Michael Powell writes about, this team is coached by Raul Mendoza, who himself was born south of the border and is not Navajo. And he's won a state championship before. He's a basketball coach that has had success, but he's going to struggle wherever he is because the expectation is once you've won a state championship, you better win them all. I can tell you as a high school coach, that is a real thing. The first year you don't win, what did you do wrong, right? Now, what Powell does is follow this team and follow the people and follow their relatives, but he doesn't just cover basketball. And that's what makes this such a great book. He lets us into a view of the reservation life that most Anglos wouldn't have. Now, previous to this, many years before, his wife had worked as a midwife on the reservation for a while. He had spent some time there. His children had spent some time there. When he goes back to write this book, he goes back alone. And he explores the Navajo diaspora in Phoenix and Albuquerque, Window Rock and Gallup and all these other places. And he never does what I know so many indigenous people hate. He never becomes a culture vulture. He never tries to become Navajo. What he tries to do, and I think does remarkably successfully, is bring us into a world, develop our understanding of what is important to the people who live there, and then show how basketball fits into that. I'm not going to spoil anything in this book about how the season works or how it turns out, but I'll tell you, if you're not rooting for these kids by about page 40, then you don't have a heart, because it is a place, the Navajo Reservation, like so many Native American reservations, is a place of enormous despair and of tremendous hope and triumph at the same time. There is a young man in here who dreams of going to Swarthmore. Visits Swarthmore and goes, yeah, this isn't really what the view book said. He ends up going to Harvard. There are kids who could go to college whose parents want them to stay in the community college and the reservation. They're afraid if they go away, they'll lose them forever. Does this sound a little bit like Eastern Maine to you from time to time? And boy, it certainly did to me. People who would say, you know, when I was at Babson, I'm sure you had this at Brewer, a kid would get into a school, great school in the Midwest or something, and their parents would say, I don't really want them going that far. I'd really rather they stayed here, you know. So many of the ways sports interact with high school students is in this book. But what makes it different, and very, very different, is the way that that basketball is connected to the whole culture there. I won't go into too much detail, but a lot of the players believe in the spiritual world of the Navajo from of old. Corn Pollen, anyone that's read Leslie Marmon Silko's incredible book on that subject, ceremony, will know that corn pollen is very important in spiritual ways to people on the nation. Some of the kids are putting it in their socks before games, and there's this incredible mix between following the old ways. Some people are very invested in Catholicism, some in Pentecostal religions. The way all this comes to blend is miraculous, because it's in this enormous landscape. There's nothing suffocating or closed about this, which I found to be really liberating. I can't wait to talk to Powell about it, because I've got to say, in the hands of a less skilled writer, this becomes my year covering the Navajo. I had a friend who was an advisor to that tribe 40 years ago, maybe 35 years ago. And he used to call those people the culture vultures, the people who swoop in and try and appropriate something from the Navajo culture. Powell never does that. And it's remarkable that at the end, I felt like I knew all the people in this book, but I have never, I've been through that landscape. I don't know them, but yeah. I felt, it was remarkable, and it is so well written. You won't want to put it down. I have been bleary-eyed for days reading this and reading Elizabeth Strout's new book. You're gonna love finishing this, and we're gonna have real fun when he's on, because it's a great book.
Yeah, we've got a great double dip of authors next week on Sports Lit 101. Yeah. Michael Powell will talk with us about Canyon Dreams, and Jeremy Beer will discuss Oscar Charleston. So a couple of terrific books, yeah, and interesting authors.
And also things that we wouldn't know about if they hadn't given us these books. And that's what I think makes reading a lot of this stuff great. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Bruce. By the way, I love your vest.
Yeah, my wife bought this for me. I've been wanting one of these kinds of vests forever.
That is nice. Is that wool?
This is wool.
That is nice.
You should
see this. I know it's on the radio. It's a good looking, kind of a Western style to it there.
It's called Wyoming something, traders. And and there's another one very similar. Sometimes you can find them called Italian fisherman's vest, but they zip. This buttons, and I like to keep it open sometimes.
Very nice.